Dearly beloved, Christ is in our midst. In today's gospel, we hear two people who come to Jesus, and they come in a sense in prayer. They are begging him, supplicating him for help. First is Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, and he approached the Lord with boldness. Because if we remember in the scripture, there came a point where the chief priests ordered out of the synagogue anyone who followed Jesus. And here was the ruler of a synagogue who came to Jesus with boldness, asking that Jesus come to heal his daughter who was dying. And then as Jesus is on this mission to go and visit the man, his wife, and his daughter, a woman with a flow of blood approaches also with a certain amount of boldness. Because if we remember in reading the Old Testament, anyone who had a flow of blood was considered unclean. Because God said, in the blood there is life. It's a holy thing. So people who had a flow of blood were kept separate. Anything they touched was considered ritually unclean. And anyone they touched was considered ritually unclean. And this woman with boldness comes and she touches Jesus, knowing what the law of Moses says. And she touches him. And she finds healing. And Jesus calls her out that she will confess her faith. Not to reprimand her that she had done something against the law, but rather so that people would see her faith, would know the faith that she had in Jesus that brought about her healing. And then he went on to bring Jairus' daughter back to life. We too approach God with boldness. It may not be as much visible in English as it is in other languages, like Serbian or Greek or Macedonian or Russian or Ukrainian or French, where there's a certain way of speaking to someone who is older than we are. There's a form of respect that is used in speaking to someone who we've met for the first time, or someone who is older than we are. But whenever we speak to God in any of those languages, we speak to him in the familiar way that we speak to a friend, not to someone who is older or to someone we don't know. But we speak to him familiarly, again, as one of our friends. We speak to him with boldness. We don't call upon him like we're speaking to some potentate or politician or judge. We say you or thee. In modern English, people hear thee or thou and think that's respectful, and it's quite the opposite. Thee and thou are terms that only people who know each other well speak to each other, but no one speaks that way in English anymore. But if you look at the liturgy in almost any other language other than English, we use that same terminology with God, with boldness, calling upon him as you, as a dear one, one dear to us. And throughout the liturgy, we say those words that we call upon you, God, with boldness. We don't hold anything back. We don't come with some formality. We come with boldness to ask him for his Holy Spirit, to ask him for the gifts of the bread and wine to become the body and blood of his Christ. to ask him to come and take up his abode in us. We come with boldness to call God Father. Now, in Jesus' time, that certainly would have been considered something of a scandal to call God Father. Because then who are we? We are his children, his daughters and sons. And certainly the pagans didn't do very much of calling their gods Father. And among the Jews, they use very much the term Lord, but still understanding God as Father. But other religions don't see God as our Father. And we only call him Father because Jesus taught us to call him that way. Because we have received the Holy Spirit in baptism. And as St. Paul says, in the Spirit, we call God Father. And he goes even further. He says, Abba, which is saying Daddy. We call him so familiarly as we would call our own daddy as Dada. And we call God Father with boldness. And in our prayer, I think sometimes when we want to have to make a decision in our life, what to do, and we pray to God, and we don't know which way to go because all the choices look equally good. Sometimes the saints teach us, then pray with boldness and forge ahead, trusting that God will stop us if it is not his will. And not stop us that we wonder, was that really God stopping me? But sometimes, in a way, figuratively giving us a bloody nose. So we know, stop. This is not my will. I have a different plan for you. And I'm thinking in particular of one of the modern saints, Saint Porphyrios, who we've been reading in our adult education class. He who had gone to Mount Athos, and he wanted to stay there the rest of his life. He never wanted to leave. He loved the life there so much, his closeness with God. And then he took sick. So sick that he was losing weight. He had difficulty breathing, and he was a young man when this happened. And his elders said, we can't care for you here. You need to go off the mountain. You need to have some chicken and meat and eggs and milk. You need to regain your strength. And though he didn't want to go, he went. And he did. He regained his strength as a young man in his teens or early 20s. And he went back to the mountain, and he got sick again. So off the mountain he went to regain his strength. And then he went back a third time after being healed, and he got sick a third time. And he who wanted to spend his life there in the garden of the Mother of God at Mount Athos had to leave because his elders told him, son, it's obvious that God doesn't want you to stay here. You've come three times, and each time you've come back, you've gotten sick. And if you stay here any longer, you'll die. And people will say, what kind of elders are these? They kill their disciples. So he had to leave the mountain. Even though he never wanted to leave, he kept going back, going back, going back, until he recognized, God's telling me, even though I want to be here, this is a holy place, God's telling me I have to go somewhere else. He has a different plan. And so it was that St. Porphyrios wound up in Athens, in the busiest city of Greece. And there was a witness to Christ, though in his heart he had wanted to be on Athos. But he, with boldness, kept going back until his elders told him, this was God telling him, God has another plan for you. And at the end of his days, he was able to go back to the holy mountain in the last months of his life, and he did die there. That's an example for us of the boldness that sometimes we have before God, to trust that, God, I don't know what your will is here. Here's what I'm going to do. If it's not your will, stop me. Turn me to your path. That's a prayer of boldness. Of boldness towards God and of trust towards God. That if we're not going the right way, he'll stop us. And he'll direct us to his path, to his will. And indeed, as we pray every time we say the Lord's Prayer, let his will, not our will, be done.